to come closer after the lecture if you wish to see them, because they are for the eye a little small. When we indicate the size of deities, that is what I learned. I thought it's nice to share. We do like this. This would be a limiting size, but to say like this, it's open to the in both directions. It's unlimitedly. So it would be not right to say they are very small. Maybe small to the material eye, but they are like this. So, Om Namo Bhagavate. Thank you very much. The translation of this verse: the holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Now the purport to this verse is taken from a lecture which Srila Prabhupada gave in Mayapur, February 26th, 1977. Yesterday we heard how Prabhupada, during the same time, in February 77, said some very deep subject about the holy name. Nam Rahasya is a deep, confidential, hidden secret of the holy name, that you do need to attract Lord Krishna by the proper spirit which is backing your chanting, so that Lord Krishna is actually present as you chant his holy name. Prabhupada said, merely producing the alphabets will not attract Krishna to appear. So in that same time, he gave a lecture which is quite amazing. I think some of you who are connoisseurs of Srila Prabhupada's special expressions know this lecture, and others will just relish it. It is in relationship to Prahlad Maharaj's being touched by Lord Nrisimhadev. So, as Nrisimhadev touched the head of Prahlad Maharaj, immediately you can have that same facility. What is that facility? How? Nrisimhadev is not here. Krishna is not here. No! He is here. What is that? Nama Rupa Kali Kale Krishna Avatar. Krishna is present by his name, Krishna. Don't think this Krishna, Hare Krishna, this name is different from Krishna. Absolute. Krishna, the deity Krishna, the name Krishna, the person Krishna, everything the same, absolute truth. who couldn't be carried away by enthusiasm to see Prabhupada's Krishna absorptedness. There's no differentiation. So in this age, simply by chanting Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna. He doesn't finish that thought, but we know what is in his mind. You can be directly in contact with Krishna. You can be touched by Krishna. So he will now prove his point that you can also be touched by Krishna by quoting this verse. And he gives a very interesting perspective on in the explanation of this. Nama chintamani Krishna chaitanya rasa vigraha puna shuddho nitya mukta. Don't think the holy name of Krishna is different from Krishna. It is punam, puna punam ada punam idam. Everything is puna. Puna means complete. We have tried to explain this completeness in our Ishopanishad. You have to read. So stick to the holy name of Krishna. You will get the same benefit as Prahlad Maharaj got by direct touch of the lotus palm of Nrisimhadev. There is no difference. Always think like that, that as soon as you are chanting Hare Krishna, you must know that you are touching Krishna with your tongue. Then you get the same benefit as Prahlad Maharaj. Thank you very much. If you wish to find this quotation and read it in your own reading time, it's in a lecture, Mayapur, in Mayapur, February 26th, 1977. Let us quickly summarize. Srila Prabhupada makes the point, like a true acharya who wants to tell his dependent disciples how they can reach Krishna. He makes the point that by chanting the holy name of Krishna, you can actually be touched by Krishna, just like Prahlad was touched by the lotus palm of Lord Nrisimhadev. I will doubt this now and will put a very strong argument about this, against this. And this we will go in attention on this verse in a moment. But first let us offer our most grateful obeisances. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In Vedic philosophy and in transcendental psychology, we find many examples how a vastu, that is a substance, becomes transformed in the contact with another substance. When you bring, for instance, pure Ganga water and pour it into other water, that water takes on, by contact with the Ganga water, the quality of purity. In spiritual, let us say, in spiritual Sangha, association, we know, if we have association with good devotees in whose heart bhakti resides, then by that contact we will be also getting Krishna bhakti. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of someone who gets infected by coming in contact with someone who has a certain illness, and then coughs, and then the infection is moved. So both in terms of vastu and in terms of consciousness, we have many examples in our philosophy how one thing by contact with another becomes transformed. In this very important verse, the holy name is compared with a Chintamani jewel. Do you know what a Chintamani jewel does? When you hold this jewel and bring it in contact with iron or any other metal, the iron turns into gold. The alchemists of the medieval times try to produce this Chintamani jewel for obvious, actually not so obvious reasons. They wanted to discover the principles which work in transforming one substance to another and apply this principle on the heart, on the mystical heart or on the character. They thought if we know how to transform one thing into another, we can also transform the consciousness from one consciousness to another. They became patronized by the medieval kings who misunderstood their approach. They wanted to have gold for their wars and thought the alchemist might be able to find this Chintamani, this touchstone, and then they could supply us unlimited amounts of gold. So a touchstone can really transform one substance to another. But here comes my question. Are you chanting? Yes. Have you been transformed? Has the holy name, which is an all spiritual form full of rasa, rasa means transcendental mellows, which is Purna Shuddho, it means fully pure, it is transcendental, and Nitya Mukto, that means never in contact with Maya, eternally liberated. Has the holy name transformed you and touched you, like an iron gets transformed by the touchstone? If it has not made you pure lovers of God, then why call it Chintamani jewel? Why use such a vain glorification of the holy name? You will not. I will follow this line. I will not take now questions, because I will bring something so divine and so superb into your awareness that I myself am very enthusiastic. My dear devotees, and this is a skepticism which is often put before our movement by other Gaudiya preachers as well, by materialists as well, by maybe your relatives as well. It will say, you have been promised something which has not yet come. Most of the Hare Krishna movement is struggling to finish their 16 rounds. They don't feel Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto. Then why call the holy name a Chintamani jewel? Why not be realistic? Call it a pious but unsuccessful attempt for Krishna Bhakti. That would be the real verse, not this. Listen to the answer. The answer is so wonderful. is the doubt clear? Iron doesn't know anything. is not very qualified, is not very pure, but you take the Chintamani jewel and bing, it's gold. We know this in the fourth canto. Srila Prabhupada talks about that Sanatana Goswami had this jewel in his possession, and it apparently worked. He transformed ordinary iron into gold. It's a powerful thing. Why? This and so, listen very carefully now. In the last verse of the shloka, it says, Binatvang nama namino. It is that the name and Krishna are identical. Jiva Goswami gives an analogy and an example for us to understand the identity of the name and the person Krishna. He says the name and the form of person are really the same. They are the same like the fruits of a sugar confectioner. The sugar confectioner, is that a proper English word? The one who makes confectioner, yes. He will take a form and then pour some sweet sugar syrup in it. Then he will unveil the form or take this form away and after it is dried, and then you have a sugar apple. Then he will take the same syrup and pour it into a mango form, and after the syrup has become either cold or, I don't know, some firm, then he will take away the form and he has a mango from sugar. The two are identical. If you close your eyes and you eat the apple, or you eat the mango, it's the same taste for all practical purposes. So in the same way, the holy name and Krishna are the same. However, just like there is a slight but unimportant differentiation, there is a difference in the bestowal of mercy between Krishna and his holy name. I saw one of you had the nectarian ocean of the holy name in his luggage. Can you please give this from your luggage? Listen to the generosity of him who is more merciful than he. Once again, listen to the generosity of him who is more merciful than he. Him and he is the same, Krishna. But the Krishna, in the form of his holy name, is more merciful than Krishna in the form of the form. To make it more clear in language, the name form is more merciful than the form form. You know, I'm a foreigner, I can create new English words, no problem. The holy name, Krishna will only appear in a heart which is completely pure. Krishna will not appear in the heart of an impure person who runs after the urges of the mind and the senses. But Krishna, in the form of his name, he actually appears even in the heart of the impure chanter and is ready to purify the impure chanter by his generosity. In other words, Krishna, in the form of the name, mercifully takes the role of the sweeper who comes into your heart and sweeps all the material contaminations away. Like the pure Ganga, which can flood an impure place and carry the dirt away from that place. The Holy Name is so extremely merciful that He appears in this age of Kali by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to go and sweep the contaminated heart of the chanter. There are no words to describe the mercy of Krishna, the generosity of Krishna, who comes in His name form. Rupa Goswami is describing this in a very, very nice words. And please hear this. Vacham vachakam ityudeti bhavato nama svarupadvayam puvasmat paramevahanta karunam tatapi janimahe yastasmin vihita paradha nivaha prani samantat bhavet asye nedam upasya sopi chadanam dambudo majat. O Holy Name, You appear in two forms, Vachyam, the deity form, and Vachakam, Your transcendental name. Of these two, we consider the form of holy syllables to be infinitely more compassionate than the form of the deity. Because if a person having taken shelter of the deity form commits aparad, offenses, the only recourse he has is to become the servant of the Holy Name and chant incessantly, Krishna, Govinda, and so on. So the form does not come when there is aparad, but if you have made aparad, you can take recourse, or you can take the remedy of becoming the servant of the Holy Name and chant incessantly Krishna, Govinda, and so on. By your immeasurable transcendental potency, all his offenses disappear, and he experiences uninterrupted joy, submerged in an ocean of ecstasy. Hare Krishna. Yes, even if at the beginning stages of chanting, our tongue is infested with the 10 offenses, Krishna will not appear in our lives. He will not come when there's the stench of aparad or anyavilas, other desires in our hearts. He will not sit on in our heart, in the lotus of our heart. But the Holy Name, He will come and work on us. Of course, when you chant the Holy Name, and here I will come to dry chanting, a phenomena which I'm very, very familiar with. When you are full of offenses, then the chanting of the Holy Name will not immediately do this touchstone quality thing. In other words, will not immediately reveal itself. It will work as a touchstone, but it will work slowly and very slowly, and you will have to enter the continuous patient practice of chanting so that it works fully. But you might say, okay, you said Krishna does not come. Krishna is not taking seat in the heart, but then you said the Holy Name is taking seat in the heart. And now you also qualify and relativate your statement, my dear lecturer. And you say the Holy Name will also not work immediately. How do you understand? How? Please explain yourself. My dear devotees, don't harbor this doubt in your heart. Think calmly and intelligently. Will a vastu always work? In other words, will the ice always make your hand cold when you touch it? Not if you have a woolen glove. Prabhupada once said, when we chant, then we become ignited in Krishna bhakti, just like straw, which becomes full of fire when there is a spark in the straw, but not if the straw is wet. Therefore, we have the four rules and regulations. So, the holy name will not work immediately, but it will work with its Chintamani qualities for a person who is covered with the offenses, the 10 offenses. And today, we will work at the root of the offenses and uproot the tree of the offenses with a very, very exciting workshop. A little later I will say what we will do. But for now, the Krishna has mercifully appeared in the holy name, but we need to respond now to this mercy and enter into a relationship with the holy name by sincerely avoiding the offenses which cover us with material consciousness, mainly with ego, so that we will not be able to experience the Chintamani quality of the holy name. That is important. But even, this is very, very important for us to understand, even though a person may be covered with offenses, if he just patiently continues to chant, he will break through this covering of offenses. There is a very nice verse which Prabhupada quotes in the sixth canto, third chapter, text 24, and also he speaks about this in text 32. Nama parada yuktanam Namani vaharantyagam avishranti prayuktani tanyevatakadani cha. Even if in the beginning one chants the Hare Krishna mantra with offenses, one will become free from such offenses by chanting again and again. See, repeated chanting. Even if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha mantra offensively, one can avoid offenses by continuously chanting without deviation. So this continuous chanting is the remedy for an offensive chanter, and this continuous chanting will pierce our material ear, and the channel will be open, and then the Lord Krishna will come into our ear. You will see, we will do this during the Japa retreat. The chanting of the holy name is very imperceptible and very pure. Now, because some of you are tired, I will tell you a story which will make you laugh about this. Once, there was a disciple. He was a member of a movement. And he came to his guru and said, Guru, my report is, I'm chanting this Hare Krishna mantra as I am able to, but I don't think it is beneficial for me, and even Krishna is not satisfied. I better stop. No, ignorant boy, continue to chant. I will show you the tremendous efficiency of the holy name. See this white bird there, this heron. You go to him and chant the holy name in his ear. So the disciple went and he was surprised. The heron allowed him to come closer. Is it a heron? And the disciple said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. When he was 2 meters away, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When he had finished chanting the mantra, the heron fell down dead. Pang. I know this is not good for anything, said the disciple, but came back to report to his guru. No, soon you will understand, said the guru. You kindly now go to this cow who has just given birth to a new calf and chant the auspicious mantra into the ears of the calf. Disciple, well, the old man says it, I will do it. Went to the calf, chanted the entire mantra, and was shocked to see that the calf, young calf, innocent calf, beautiful sattvic calf, died. He came back to Guru Maharaj, this is a killer mantra. No, soon you will understand everything. The subtle effect of the chanting is sometimes not so easily perceived by the dull brain. You, in some time I will tell you to make a third experiment. So after, I believe it was a month or maybe a month and 1 week. It is not exactly clear how long. The guru called the disciple and said, you know, our king has finally, after many unsuccessful attempts, obtained his son. You kindly go to him and for the auspicious greeting of this son, you say the name. The king is very protective of his son, my dear boy. Therefore, in order to gain entrance at the, what is it called? The thing which goes back and forth? In the cradle? To come close to the cradle, you have to say, I'm coming on behalf of my Guru Maharaj, and you pronounce my name to him, and then he will have faith and allow you to come close to his little boy. Disciple, okay, I always wanted to see the palace. I'm doing it mainly for this purpose. He was announced. The king said, no one can see the boy. He's just an infant. Only very special people can see. After so many prayers, now this boy is with us. I'm very protective. Please, later when he is 5 years, he will appear in public and you can do everything then. No, I'm coming on behalf of my Guru Maharaj. He has said I should come and pronounce an auspicious welcome mantra to your boy. The king gave it a good thought. Then he said, well, but this is a very good saint. He has sent his disciple. He knows what he is doing. Okay, you can come. He came. And he came with a revenue, and the disciple came in. Said, should I do this or not? It must be that the calf was severely ill when he was born. It was a birth defect, and then it died. And the heron was so old, he didn't even fly away when I came. I mean, this mantra will not do anything. It's just some words, some syllables, you know. Anyways, and I'm on the strength of this mantra here in this chamber now. I must do something. Very, very inaudibly, just very whispering-like, he chanted, the moment he had finished chanting the mantra, the boy looked at him, turned his eyes, and died. The king said, "Oh no! Gods! Torture this man! Bring him out before the walls of the town. Give him the slowest death which has ever been administered to the greatest sinner." And he was, the guards jumped on the poor disciple who was now really in severe trouble. And they brought him out of the room. And at this moment, something happened which is very important for this story. At this moment, an effulgent being came out of the chest of the infant, circumambulated the disciple. The man went all back, paid his most respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of that disciple and said, "I was a cursed being. By the nature of my curse, I would have to suffer in that old Heron body. I would have had to have a terrible life as a calf who would have been slaughtered by uncivilized men. And then I would have been born in the body of this prince, and I would have totally lost the values of the human form of life. But you have saved me." The disciple said, "I have not done anything. This is my Guru Maharaj. He sent me. I'm just following him. And now I can go to where I belong. Thank you so much for chanting 3 times the Hare Krishna mantra in my ear. Hare Krishna." And he went. I do not know where he went. This is not narrated. I think he went back home, back to Godhead. But not to be too much in praise. He was released. The point of this story, while I'm telling, it's an old story. It's in one of the oceans of stories. You will find it. There's a book like that. It shows you the invisible potency of the holy name. Don't please doubt this invisible potency. If you doubt it, and if you doubt that Krishna in the form of the holy name can be merciful to you and help you to overcome your anattas, which are in your heart, then it will not work. But if you faithfully, even though you are an unqualified chanter, beg for the mercy of the holy name. I have learned this from Satsvarup Maharaj. This begging for the nectar of the holy name. Begging for the nectar of the holy name. There's a book available on this subject. If you there, we find the quotation that one should sincerely come to Mahaprabhu and beg from him the holy name. This quotation is to be found in this book. It's in Prabhupada's book. Then the holy name can be, out of his compassion, he can act and sweep away the obstacles in your life. Because this is such an important point for our japa retreat, that is extra chanting, with the faith that the holy name can effect many wondrous changes even in our own hearts. Because this is so important, I would like to give you another quotation from Madhurya Kadambini, which tells about the same thing. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur very, very skillfully addresses our loss or our lack of taste in the chanting of the holy name. I believe you also know what is desert chanting.
Oh, Krishna, very much, we know very much. This is very much known to us.
Dryness of the heart. Chanting only out of duty. Asking ourselves, when will this ever stop? I mean, I seem to experience the relativity of time here. It's still the same time, 25 minutes past 8, and not a drop of nectar in chanting the holy name. And later we look, and it seems that the wristwatch is still at the same time. There's a relativity of time, something which is explained in physics has happened to us, and so on. The reason is why we have this lack of taste is and this loss of the ability to relish the spiritual substance is because we have developed the fever of material consciousness. And when you have fever and you can be presented with the most delicious meal, that meal is not only appetizing you, in other words, you even develop an apathy. Bring this food, please, away with the smell of the food. It feels like vomiting seeing this. You feel when you have a strong fever, malaria fever, dengue fever, typhoids is the worst type of fever. When you get that, and you are getting very your favorite preparations, which have enveloped, which have always addressed your deep sense of fascination. You feel, not only do you feel no appetite, you feel even disturbed by it.
Hare Krishna.
I will quote to you now from Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Just as during a serious fever, one loses all taste for food, and it becomes impossible to eat. In the same way, a person who commits a serious offense loses the scope for hearing, chanting, and performing devotional activities. There is no doubt about this. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the remedy for the fever sick patient who has no taste for the food. He says, however, if the fever lessens with time, some taste for food develops. Even then, nourishing foods like milk and rice cannot give their full power of nourishment to the person suffering from chronic fever. They bestow some benefit, but cannot relieve him of his wasted condition. An invalid's diet and medicine can, however, with time, restore him to his previous healthy condition. At that time, the full potency of normal food can be utilized by the body. Who of you is on an invalid's diet? Invalid's diet means nourishing things like milk and cream. Yesterday there was a little cream in the soup and it just leveled me on the ground already. Your body cannot absorb that, nourishing things. So when we are invalids and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, who cannot taste Chaitanya Rasa, we must take to an invalid's diet. During this chanting retreat, there will be sessions where we will practice. But if you feel that you become disturbed by chanting many more rounds, if you feel very much dryness of the heart, if you feel profound grief, you know that the invalid is reacting to the diet, not to the diet, to the more richer diet. At that time, don't go into quantity. Take a time away, read something, have a spiritual discussion with someone, make a walk, and see how the disturbed mind and the disturbed reaction will abate. No, it is nice that I'm disturbed. I'm getting to a place where I can work. It's working. The process is working. The power of the holy name invisibly works on me like a rich like a diet. And at that time, be careful. Like yesterday, I noticed, I mean, I was not leveled by the soup. I noticed, I took the 4 spoons and I noticed, ooh, there's cream inside. And I said, now this is enough for my abilities at this moment. Tomorrow I will be able to eat 5 spoons of this soup. Mm-hmm. So in the same way, my dear devotees, don't go for quantity when you feel that you come to this misfortunate situation which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes. Dodaivam itrisha ihan jani nanu raga, no raga, no taste in my heart. This no taste is a serious problem of the conditioned soul. But the holy name is so wonderful that he therapeutically, when it is taken in the right doses, Prabhupada gave us a minimal doses, an invalid doses of 16 rounds. If it is taken, or if we have even failed our vows due to some illness and we could not, then wherever we are, we can start. Modern ISKCON, I think we have to say this, taking everyone into account. Take a minimal amount and chant that very nice. And after some time, you will, your taste will come. It must come. It is bound to come, and you will chant many more rounds than 16 rounds. You will like to do this. It will be with you. We will study a few of this purpose of Srila Prabhupada about chanting extra rounds. I also, by Krishna's incredible mercy, have a meeting with His Divine Grace and Mukunda Maharaj, where they talk. Prabhupada first says, now your duty is to chant 64 rounds. When Mukunda Maharaj was very young, and we can learn how Prabhupada lessened the number of rounds. But please, this is very important for me to relate to you, to transfer to you. Please have faith in the potency of the holy name, which can bring away the obstacles from your heart. Don't also think, which sometimes the critical mind might think, oh, I'm chanting without taste, is there any benefit? You are chanting. You are chanting. Krishna sees you are endeavoring. Prabhupada made the difference between a green mango and a ripe mango. The green mango, your chanting may be green mango, or between green and ripe mango, but it is a mango. And in due course of time, if you keep on the patient practice, it will mature and it will become succulent and sweet. Why is there so much obstacle against chanting? My dear devotees, because this is a heavy point, I will now use myself as an example so that you know who sits before you. It's not an advanced chanter. I have noticed that I do need extra amount of rounds, and I have made wonderful experiences with it. But I have also seen last year, what it really is that we don't like to chant or that we don't like Krishna. It was in Kanai Natashala, and I was there with the intention to chant extra rounds. I was chanting. And as I was chanting, I all of a sudden saw my misfortune, Duodevam. What I saw is, I saw material attractions. It's so graphic that no sinful Hollywood film will be able to even show a shadow of what I saw. And I was very, very surprised, because in this life, I joined when I was 15, and I come from a cultured family. I have not done many things which are normal in society. And I was thinking, from where is this coming? I'm not seeing dirty movies. Where do I even know such scenes from? It is not with me, this knowledge, from direct perception. Then I could see, you know, scenes like violence, you know, me in a violent encounter with someone and really trying to finish him off in a very brutal way. I saw many things, and it became so bad that I had to lock the door, because I didn't want my assistant to see my distressed face and the liters of water which came out of the eyes. But I had faith in the holy name that if you just continue chanting, this offenses will go. And you know, I have experienced what Ravindra Swarup Prabhu always talks about, profound grief after some time. Oh Krishna, I really made a major mistake by turning away from you and coming into this material world. What I'm now seeing are definitely colorful past life experiences. And maybe desires, unacknowledged desires which are there in the heart to violently beat someone, and other things which are too embarrassing to relate in a public assembly, where you have not deep personal relationships with everyone. I felt profound grief. Krishna, I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death, and this is really a big mistake. I mean, it's not a small mistake which we can quickly, you know, bypass. It's a little, in German language you say, Schönheitsfehler. Schönheitsmistake means a beautiful mistake, you know, something small, like, for instance, now I would drop the glass and the glass would break. You would not say, I'm the deepest of fools. You would not lose your desire to listen to the end of this unusual class. This is not a serious mistake, you know, to drop the glasses. No, but, you know, having turned away from Krishna, dear devotees, consider this. And going from life form to life form and doing all these amazing sinfully activities, it is bad. And once your mind becomes a little bit purified, you really become startled. Whoops! This is it's a major crime. Hare Krishna. And so the ego, of course, always defends this. Oh, you know, I'm all right, I'm trying very well, I'm very good, and so on. And our ego is extremely expert in putting a veil of, or an armor of self-defense before us. And when we begin to chant, the subtle effect or spiritual effect of the holy name begins to purify us, begins to move things and illusions away from us. We become realistic about our spiritual life.
and we go deeper, and all of a sudden, we hit it. The arch enemy, the false ego, the first material covering, which has been with us since many lifetimes. And it will not smile at you like Marilyn Monroe. It will ferociously rise its ugly hood and, you know, will become very angry. This is to be expected. You might see your ego during this japa retreat. Don't be afraid. Just Hare Krishna, Krishna. Continue mildly, but not with tenseness in your heart. Then only Krishna can confront this enemy for you. You are too weak. You are much too weak. But Krishna, in his most merciful form, the form of the holy name, will be able to help you overcome this. I want to close now and then request Romapad Maharaj, who has quotation from the Bhagavatam, how the divine sound will make our heart into a proper sitting place for Krishna. He has a quotation like this. He will address this for us. But I would like to make one Hare Krishna. Yes. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his work Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, has one very nice chapter which I really would like to request you to get a hold of. It's called The Fourth Shower, and it's translated as The System for Cultivation of the Name. There he says, he talks about faith in the efficiency of the holy name. Those devotees at the stage of aspiring for prema should remember a few things before engaging in intensive chanting. They should be convinced that Krishna's form, his name, his service, and his associates are all eternally pure and spiritual. Krishna, his abode, and his associates in his pastimes are all absolutely free of the material energy, Puna, Shuddha, and Nitya Mukta, and are completely spiritual. Thus, there is nothing material in the performance of service to Krishna. And then he speaks about everything about Krishna, the name and so on, is absolutely pure. But the true identities of all these items, the name, the form, he speaks of the Yamuna, that is his dham, Krishna's throne, Krishna's house, everything. The true identities of all these items of transcendence do not appear in this world, but rather reside in the hearts of the pure devotees. So, when your heart is purified by the mercy of the holy name, Krishna, his form, his abode will appear. All you have to learn is to avoid the 10 offenses. And to avoid the 10 offenses is very, very, it's a major work in our life. There are most of the 10 offenses, no, all the 10 offenses can be committed outside of your practice. But there is one offense during your practice
which is the root of all the other offenses, which you can work on. That root of all offenses is called pramada, inattention, while chanting the holy name. And it's the only of the 10 offenses which you do during the practice. I mean, when you have you ever seen someone who chants Hare Krishna and then starts to blaspheme a devotee who's engaged in spreading the glories of the holy name? I mean, he's chanting, he's doing, you usually don't consider that, you don't speculate about the demigods and Vishnu while you chant and so on. But you become inattentive. And it is described that from this inattention, pramada, the other offenses come. And in this workshop which we will offer today, it's a priceless jewel, this workshop today, we will learn a way to work on this offense. We will slowly approach in slow steps this offense and how to overcome it. But that will be the subject of the workshop. Today I only want to, here in this philosophical class, I only want to say the holy name is a wonderful touchstone. It can bring auspiciousness into our lives if we avoid the 10 offenses, just like ice can make us cold, or fire warm, if we have no covering. Today in our workshop we will work very, very nicely on this tense, on this offense. You will really like it. It will be very easy and gently, and also fun. It will be fun. I mean, not mindless fun, but it will be. It will you will be amazed to when we work on inattention. We will speak a little bit about the mind and how can we control the mind? What are the states of the mind? How does the mind work? How does this powerful machine work? How can it be controlled? There are things Prabhupada said about this. And yes. Dobro. Good. I'm trying to preach very strongly. Do you notice? Even my voice. Do you know why? Because I need to reach you. And therefore, I need to put my whole personality in that. This is not an academic class. I need to try to reach you because we are now one group. I want to take full responsibility that I try my level best. If I'm sometimes being too German and too this and that, you kindly tell me. I'm not attached to any style, but maybe I'm too loud for you. I really want to reach you. We want to now hear from our Yomapat Maharaj this quotation. Is it ready? Oh, wonderful.
Two verses.
Do you all understand Maharaj as he sits there? Yes, it's a very, very nectarine verse. Please let us now listen very attentively.
The verse is from the 8th chapter, 2nd canto, text number 285.
Would you mind if we tape this, Maharaj, for posterity?
No.
What do you say?
I don't know
what
posterity
means. Not Allah, but
posterity. Posterity does.
Pravishta karna randrena svanam bhava sororuham dhunoti Shamalam Krishnaha Sarilasya Yata Sharat. This is Narada speaking. No, it's Parikshit Maharaj speaking to Shukadeva Goswami, appreciating all that he's just said previously about answering his other questions. And he's got a whole stack of other questions. And as he's asking, right in the middle of asking his questions, he just comes out with this statement that says, it refers to the previous verse, but one who hears, as the previous verse describes, then this quality of hearing, the eager to hear, the previous verse is svacheshtitam, shrinvita shradhaya nityam, grinantascha svacheshtitam, svacheshtitam, with great endeavor to receive this message that Shukadeva Goswami is giving, and grinatas, taking it very, very seriously. So there's the effort side. And one who hears in that way, pravishta, karna, randrena. Randrena is the hole in the ear. But the sound enters that way, but it goes to a very special channel. It goes svanam bhavasaroham, goes right to the lotus of one's affection and relationship with Krishna. Svanam, Prabhupada has translated, is according to one's liberated position. Like, we're way down here and the sound enters right to where, right to the spiritual position, even we're covered. And dunoti shamalam krishnaha. Krishna cleanses all the yucky stuff, all the coverings, and the Prabhupada goes through the coverings. Kam, krodh, lobh, moham, all the dirty things. Dunoti shamalam krishnaha. Salilasya yata sharat. Salilasya is ponds of water that are muddied after the rainy season, the autumn sharat season. Some very light rain comes, and somehow the light rain, the muddy water settles and disappears. And then Prabhupada explains, beyond that, it just removes. So Krishna, and he's specific, Krishna in his literary form, just as this is Krishna in his name form, when there's this ardent hearing, Prabhupada's phrase, this is what Krishna does. He comes. He sits in the lotus of one's bhava sarodham, one's transcendental feelings in the liberated position, cleans up the mess. So there's what we do and the relationship. It's what we do and what Krishna does.
Thank you very, very much, Maharaj. I'm very fascinated. You are a scholarly devotee. We don't know each other so well. We only met in Heidelberg when we were young. And wonderful. Yes, please consider this example. During the rainy season, the ponds, or before the rainy season, the ponds of I only know near Mayapur, they are so full of stinky things, you know, duck dropping. There are many ducks and chicken droppings are there. It really smells, has a stench, and so on. But then when the monsoon waters come, dirty things are washed out from the ponds. Everything is coming towards the big rivers like the Ganga, and then going into the ocean. And then after the rainy season, everything is very
nice, and the pukurs are full with fresh water, fresh life. The dirt has gone, and life can go on very much nicer. So this effort to chant the holy name with it must be there with eagerness, and this will be the motto. Today we will make an effort to avoid the offense of inattention. We will work on this. I will. I have surprises for you from our ancient Vaishnav history, which are very, very wonderful. When I discovered them, it really changed my whole life, because I do have the most active vata mind you can imagine, but it's it really works. And once you have worked on that offense, from which all the other offenses come, once you have, you are attentive to Krishna, and Krishna can really come into your heart, you're not looking somewhere else, Krishna is coming to you, then your heart will be purified so nicely. And in a purified heart, you don't want to commit the other offenses. You just no need, no impulse to commit the other offenses. And then Krishna reveals himself very nicely. So, now, I can't believe it. We are in time. we are... can I please see the schedule? I need to just inform you. Purusha Shukta, how far is the prasadam, please?
Five
Indian minutes or five British minutes? Maybe you, it's brought down, huh?
American minute.
So what we will do is we will be very, very punctual. You can see, I didn't believe it. Yes, we are in time. We will take our prasadam at 9 o'clock. You all have this timetable. And then there is a pause up till 11 o'clock. You can use this pause in whatever way you want to do your work on your in this retreat. Maybe some of you are tired, then you might like to take a little rest. Others, I would suggest, don't, if you're not tired, please work on your practice. You have to take your own responsibility, really. These are 5 days altogether where you have to take your full responsibility. It's your life. It's your japa. I'm not responsible what you do with this time. I'm responsible for providing a frame so that you can intensify your practice, but I will not force any one of you. It's not my nature, and I don't think it works, and you are anyways very senior, and so on. So then at 11 o'clock, I would request you to come back. From 11 o'clock to 1 p.m., we will have this workshop and the practice. We will have a workshop on how to become concentrated. It's very interesting. So please be there at 11 o'clock sharp. If you, after the workshop, which will last about half an hour to 45 minutes, no, this one is a little longer. It will 1 hour, 1 hour 15, like that. We will have time to practice up till 1 o'clock. Again, those of you who feel tired during this time, you can, or who want to read something, you can retreat as you wish, and so on. I only request you to be there at 11 o'clock. And then 1 o'clock, after the prasadam, we have again a 3-hour pause. It's 1 p.m. and then we will continue at 4 p.m. with the official program. Again, I would like to recommend you This is the chance. Spend the time here in this room to chant extra rounds. But if you feel your diet is full, you have taken to your satisfaction, then that is also all right. Only please be there at 4 o'clock sharp, because then we will have again new tools, and I really think they are valuable for your practice. And then we have a dinner and an evening program. Also, at 11 o'clock, I will introduce a pure devotee to you, who is our hero for this japa workshop. I will not announce him now. He is a surprise. He will come at 11 o'clock. Hare Krishna. I want to request one thing here. In this room, we should always try to have a sanctified atmosphere. That is, if we have to communicate, let us do it very softly so that the others are not disturbed who want to chant. This is our meditation, japa meditation room, where we please keep a sanctified atmosphere. But everywhere else is the world of communication is open for you everywhere else. Mm-hmm. Anuta Mahaprabhu. Anuta Mahaprabhu, I have to play it a little bit by the ear as your facilitator. I will have to see a little bit where there is need to learn, where there's interest. I will look into your faces. If you're smiling, I will know, oh, this is good. If you're not, then it may not be so appropriate, and so on. I don't know. I plan to do it 1 hour, and after 1 hour, then there is practice, which we will do together. But this is very difficult to give time limitation for this particular workshop, because I will give one practice and then we will practice together and apply that it goes inside our life. You will be very, it's all in connection with Prabhupada. It's nothing new, but it is a little bit opened up so that we understand the instructions a little bit more and so on. Purusha Shukta? It is, thank you very much, a 5-day retreat. I made a mistake. This was not a crime, like leaving Krishna. This was a beautiful mistake, they say in Germany. I said 4 days, it's 5 days. We will have, we will go up till Wednesday at noontime. And please be present, please make your plan to be there, because on Wednesday you will enter into a very nice ceremony, the Sankalpa ceremony, where you will get where Ananta Shesha will appear in the form of a thread, and it's bound around, and some mantras are chanted, and then you are protected with your newfound realizations which you have here, and you will be wonderful chanters from then onwards to Goloka Dham, you know. That is an important ceremony. I put it at the end so that also those who have ends in their dhotis and zaris stay so long.
In the morning schedule, are you going to give time for discussion, questions, that kind of thing?
I wanted to do this from tomorrow. Morning session, Maharaj, do you mean?
Just like right now.
Right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you all feel? Maybe it's good to discuss, because otherwise you just hear something ping, and then you cannot deepen it. Manaha, or reflection, which happens in discussion, helps us to bring the subject from one level to the other level. I'm only a little nervous today, because today I have my workshops are a little longer than tomorrow, so today I just cut it. I think If you have questions at the beginning of the workshop, we can ask the questions. But now it's very important for me because it's the first day and you are all a little, you know, you have to become accommodated to the place. So you need a pause, something, prasadam, resting, whatever, polishing your shoes or, you know, the human activities. And then that you are ready at 11 o'clock. All right, but I will, from tomorrow onwards, I think it's good to have questions and answers. I was also a little carried away. I was just a bit too long. Mm-hmm. All right, so prasadam is ready now. Is it? Please do take prasadam. And then please be back at 11 o'clock. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.